For more than 50 years, the Middle East has been a powder keg of international conflict. The United Nations has tried to bring peace to the region. The United States has spent tens of billions of dollars on military force and economic aid to Mideast countries. Bible prophecy tells you what to watch for in this troubled region. Will there ever be peace in the Middle East? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, are you watching the Middle East? And now, Richard Ames.
Greetings to all our friends around the world. If you're watching the news, you know that the Middle East is at the center of world conflict. The tiny nation of Israel and the Arab lands around it are at the heart of dispute and bloodshed that affects you and me, both now and in the future. What will be the outcome of Middle East violence and conflict? Bible prophecy gives an answer that may surprise you. Jerusalem is the most important city for end time prophecy, and will be the most important city in tomorrow's world. But today, conflict reigns in Israel. In September 2000, Palestinians began an armed uprising against Israeli military control over the communities where they live. As of November 1, 2004, Agence France-Presse reported that 4,539 people have been killed, including 3,508 Palestinians and 957 Israelis. And the number has increased since then. Countless thousands more have been injured or displaced. Jerusalem is considered holy to the three of the world's major religions. To Jews, Jerusalem was the city of the great prophets and the capital of the kingdom of Israel and Judah under King David and his son King Solomon. The first and second temples were the center of worship until the destruction of the city by the Romans in 70 AD. Jerusalem is also the third most holy city of Islam, after the cities of Mecca and Medina. Today, the Islamic Mosque of Omar, or the Dome of the Rock, dominates the Temple Mount. The Arabic term for the holy place is Al-Haram Ash-Sharif, which means the noble sanctuary. Muslims believe that the Prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven from that site, and that God told Abraham to sacrifice Ishmael rather than Isaac at that location. Christians revere the city as the place where their Savior was crucified and where he taught in the temple. Christians believe Jesus will return to establish his kingdom with Jerusalem as world capital. What does the Bible say about the future of Jerusalem? Will it be the future capital of the world, perhaps in your lifetime? On today's program, we'll be offering a powerful and informative booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy. This booklet will help you understand what the Bible teaches about the amazing end-time events surrounding Jerusalem and the entire Middle East. You can order the booklet by calling the phone number on your screen or by visiting our website, tomorrowsworld.org. If you have your Bible, turn to one of the major prophecies regarding the future of the world. The second chapter of Isaiah gives a wonderful and encouraging view of tomorrow's world. Isaiah 2 and verse 1. Notice this specific prophecy concerning Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. As we saw in a previous program on the principles of prophecy, mountains are a biblical symbol for a government or a kingdom. Isaiah stated plainly that the Lord's kingdom would be established in Jerusalem. Yes, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Notice that all nations shall flow to it. All nations will submit to the new world government. Let's understand. This will not be a government in the hands of selfish human beings. The new government will be a world-ruling divine kingdom, the kingdom of God. This world-ruling kingdom will be ruled by the Messiah, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's the good news we all look forward to. I hope that you're looking forward to that time of world peace. I hope that you're yearning for the kingdom to come. I hope that you're praying, "Your kingdom come," as we're taught to pray in Matthew 6, verse 10. So Jerusalem will be the future capital of the world. Let's see another confirmation of that in the book of Zechariah. Listen to this beautiful description of future life in Jerusalem. Zechariah 8 and verse 3. "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the City of Truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with a staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets." The city of Jerusalem will finally live up to its name, City of Peace, because the Lord, the Eternal, the glorified Messiah, Jesus Christ, will actually live there, dwell there. As he said, "I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem." That's when we'll begin to experience genuine world peace. But Jerusalem has experienced a long history of conflict. Back in the 16th century, in 1516, the Ottoman Empire defeated the Egyptian Mamluks, seizing control of Palestine and Jerusalem. 400 years later, during World War I in 1917, General Allenby and the British Army defeated the Turks and entered the city of Jerusalem. The British government issued the Balfour Declaration, declaring the policy to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. In 1947, the United Nations partitioned Jerusalem, and the city is divided between Arab and Jewish control. On May 6, 1948, Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion declared Israel an independent state. Israel successfully defended itself against the attack of the Arab League. During the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel captured all of Jerusalem, putting it under Jewish rule for the first time since the Roman destruction in 70 AD. Since 1967, Israel has fought wars and negotiated peace treaties with several Arab states, but Israel has never been able to negotiate a permanent peace agreement with the Palestinians. Both claim Jerusalem as their capital. Virtually every credible Palestinian leader has for decades made demands that Israel found unacceptable. Yasser Arafat, who died late last year, has perhaps been the best-known Palestinian leader over the years. But the Palestinians' grievance against Israel runs far deeper than one man's leadership. Before his death in 2002, Faisal Husseini, a representative of the Palestinian Authority in Jerusalem, stated that Israel, quote, must withdraw from all of East Jerusalem to the pre-67 borders. All settlements and Israeli neighborhoods in East Jerusalem must be dismantled. Israel must compensate the Palestinians for the damages it has inflicted, including the changes in the character of the city and the lives of its citizens, end of quote. What has caused the ultimate impasse in negotiations again and again? The one issue that appears unsolvable: who will control Jerusalem? In 1980, Israel declared Jerusalem its united and eternal capital. If both sides consider their positions non-negotiable, there's an impasse. The Israeli position remains unchanged. That is, they insist that Jerusalem will remain united under sole Israeli sovereignty. How wide is this gap in opposing views toward the political control of Jerusalem? According to an August 1999 poll conducted by the Palestinian Jerusalem Media and Communication Center, quote, 93.7% of Palestinians opposed any solution that keeps Jerusalem as the unified capital of Israel, even if this issue constitutes the final obstacle facing a Palestinian-Israeli peace treaty, end of quote. Yes, the gap between views over the sovereignty of Jerusalem is wide and deep. What does the international community think about this conflict? What is the solution? In 1980, when Israel declared Jerusalem to be Israel's united and eternal capital, the Vatican strongly objected to that declaration. Then later in 1984, Pope John Paul II called for Jerusalem to have a, quote, special internationally guaranteed status, end of quote. My friends, the status of Jerusalem will continue to be a major issue. You need to be watching the Middle East and the trends that will mean major changes in political and religious control over the city of Jerusalem. What events will mark those changes? Who will eventually control Jerusalem? We'll discuss the answer to those questions later on in the program. But first, I'd like to offer you this free informative booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy. What does Bible prophecy say about the future of Israel and the nations surrounding it? Will there be peace in Jerusalem and the Middle East? This exciting booklet will help you in your study of Bible prophecy and give you advance information on end time events. You need this booklet, so pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of The Middle East in Prophecy.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issue. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
In the first part of our program, we saw the awesome significance of Jerusalem, both in the world today and in the world tomorrow. Bible prophecy reveals what will happen in the years just ahead of us in the Middle East. You and I are living in exciting times. In fact, we're living in the period of time the Bible identifies as the end time. The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament records God's prophecy that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. In just one century, we have advanced from the age of flight to the nuclear age, the information age, and the space age. But one thing has not changed. Human nature has not improved from selfishness, greed, and war to love, harmony, and peace. True spiritual change is evidenced only in those whose hearts have been transformed by the true Christ of your Bible. And He, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has also revealed in your Bible the future of the world and the future of the Middle East. He predicts that wars, regional and global, lie on the horizon. Can you know what lies ahead? Yes, you can, if you search the Scriptures. If you have a Bible handy, turn to Zechariah 14. Here's good news. God inspired the prophet Zechariah to reveal the greatest event yet to occur in the Middle East, and in fact, the greatest event for the entire world. The Messiah will conquer all warring nations and rule this earth in peace. Zechariah 14 and verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, will return to this earth and bring it lasting peace. The powerful, eternal kingdom of God will replace all national and all supernatural governments. Christ will be king over all the earth, ruling from the new world capital, Jerusalem. Notice that starting in verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and His name one. My friends, I look forward to that day. I pray for that day, even as Jesus taught us to pray, Your kingdom come. Yes, there's good news for the Middle East and for the world. But in the meantime, Jesus tells us to be watchful and alert. In Matthew 24:3, His disciples asked Him what sign to watch for. They asked, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus proceeded to outline a sequence of prophetic events leading to his second coming. Among the signs he gave were wars and rumors of wars. He stated in Matthew 24 and verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Jesus' prediction of wars has continued through the centuries. In the 20th century, we experienced two world wars. And after World War II, the Arabs and the Israelis fought five major wars in the Middle East. And other major wars have taken place in the Middle East. Peace has been proclaimed in the region in the past, but it has never been realized. Sometimes our memories are short concerning the horrendous, devastating wars that have taken place. The Iraq-Iran War lasted from 1980 to 1988. More than 1 million persons were killed. The first Gulf War took place in 1990 and 1991. Fewer than 400 coalition soldiers died, and fewer than 1,000 were wounded. Sources disagree as to how many Iraqis died in the first Gulf War, but nearly all place the number in the tens of thousands. The U.S. Congress calculated the cost of the war at just over $61 billion. Iraqi troops set fire to more than 600 oil wells in Kuwait. The black smoke evoked images of Armageddon. This widespread pollution was called at the time the world's worst man-made environmental disaster. At the end of the war, Iraq accepted coalition terms, including restrictions on the development of weapons of mass destruction and periodic inspections to verify compliance with these restrictions. Over the next decade, Iraq's failure to accept the mandated inspections on terms satisfactory to the United Nations and the United States set the stage for what would become the second Gulf War. The repercussions of that conflict continue to this day. As the United States tries to come to terms with its role it has taken for itself in Iraq and the more than $100 billion that has been spent fighting the war and trying to maintain a peace. Will there be more wars in the Middle East? Sadly, yes. Your Bible reveals there will be even more regional wars in the Middle East, leading to the ultimate Armageddon. And the city of Jerusalem will be a focal point of conflict. We've covered those major trends in previous programs. But notice, Jesus gave a very specific sign to watch, and that sign will take place in the Middle East. Matthew 24, verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Turn in your Bible to Daniel, the 11th chapter. Historically, the Greek ruler Antiochus Epiphanes issued a decree in 167 B.C. that prohibited further sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple. Daniel 11 and verse 31. "And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation." In addition to stopping the daily sacrifices, Antiochus further erected a statue of Jupiter Olympus in the temple and directed everyone to worship it. This abomination, also referred to in chapter 8 of Daniel, is a type of an end-time event. Notice also that the end-time sacrifices are cut off 1,290 days before the return of Christ. Daniel 12 and verse 11. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Jesus warns us as Christians to be alert to an end-time abomination of desolation. Just as Antiochus Epiphanes profaned the temple in 167 B.C. and cut off the sacrifices, so will a profane authority cut off Jewish sacrifices in the future. In fact, the Apostle Paul warns of a great false prophet that will stand in the holy place. Let's read that in 2 Thessalonians 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Yes, there'll be a great false prophet who will work great miracles, and he'll deceive millions of people. He'll cultivate worship toward himself and claim he's divine. Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14 show that this great false prophet will work amazing miracles, even calling down fire from heaven, and that he will deceive millions of people around the world. Again, my friends, don't you be deceived by these signs and wonders. As it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." So as we've seen, this end-time false prophet will cause the sacrifices to cease. Let's realize that the Jews have not offered animal sacrifices since 70 A.D., when the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. In order for the end-time sacrifices to be stopped eventually, they need to begin. Listen, when animal sacrifices begin once again in Jerusalem, you will know that the prophecies Jesus spoke about are heading for a grand smash climax. What should we watch for after we see the abomination of desolation? We'll answer that question in the next part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you our free informative booklet, The Middle East and Prophecy. What does Bible prophecy say about the future of Israel and the nations surrounding it? Will there be peace in Jerusalem and the Middle East? You need to be watching the Middle East and the trends that will mean major changes in political and religious control over the nations of the Middle East and the city of Jerusalem. What events will mark those changes? Who will eventually control Jerusalem? The Middle East and prophecy will answer those questions and will help you in your study of Bible prophecy. You need this booklet. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of The Middle East in Prophecy.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
As we saw in the previous part of our program, Jesus told us in Matthew 24:15 to watch for the abomination of desolation. He also spoke of the time when enemy armies would invade the Holy Land and surround the city of Jerusalem. Notice this in Luke 21 and verse 20. Luke 21, verse 20. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near." So we see that there are at least two signs Jesus tells us to watch for: the abomination of desolation and Jerusalem surrounded by armies. These will not just be any armies of the Middle East, but the Gentile armies that will control Jerusalem for 3.5 years. You can read about that in Revelation 11, verse 2. Now, let's continue in Luke 21, verse 22. "For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." The time setting is end time prophecy. Remember, Luke's account is in the context of the Olivet prophecy, also described in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. A new superpower will invade the Middle East and dominate the region. But God Almighty will intervene in the Middle East and in all the world. He will send the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to rule all the nations. Jesus Christ will return to Jerusalem, and he'll rule over all the kingdoms, nations, and governments of this earth. As we read earlier, Zechariah 14:9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Yes, the Messiah will be king over all the earth and govern from Jerusalem. That's good news for all the nations, for you, your children, and your grandchildren. But peace can only come about in the lives of human beings when their human nature is changed. God will grant the vast majority of all peoples the gift of His Spirit. Then they shall learn how to live in peace. Jerusalem will not only be the governmental capital of the world, but also it will be the educational capital of the world. The great educator and teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, will teach true knowledge based on the Word of God. As we saw in Zechariah 8, verse 3, Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth. All nations will learn the eternal principles, laws, and values that guarantee peace and prosperity to all. As Isaiah said, the people will come to the Holy Land and they will say, "He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." That's in Isaiah 2, verse 3. That's the good news of your future and the future of the world. Jerusalem will be the center of world government, education, and religion. The word Jerusalem means city of peace. Jerusalem has experienced bloody fighting and wars over the millennia. But soon, this great city truly will be the city of peace for all peoples. That's the good news you can look forward to. My friends, you need to watch events in the Middle East. Be sure to request your free copy of the Middle East in Prophecy. May God guide you in your desire for the coming kingdom of God. And may we all look forward to world peace when Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. We invite you to join us every week on Tomorrow's World. Roderick Meredith, John O'Gwin, and I will continue to share with you the teachings of Jesus Christ and the exciting end time prophecies and their meaning. So be sure to join us again next week right here at the same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.